Oh, God is amazing. I just wouldn't be anywhere else. There is nowhere else. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We're lacking nothing. Just ask. Just ask and you will receive. Praise God. Awesome God. Well, I've headed my message. It's time. It's time. And this past week, God's been drawing my attention to how oblivious the church is as to what's going on around them, both positively and negatively. I don't believe it's this body. I believe we are really blessed and open to what God wants to do. But just bear with me a while. If you look at the world, if you look at it globally, we see in the Far East and the Middle East that the church is growing rapidly. On New Year's Eve, we saw how a church in India, a mega church, 350,000 people in the congregation. 350,000 people. They're accommodated in three buildings. And just a minute, their church is for 40 mega churches throughout India. Wow. This is the first one. They're believing for another 39. And all that is happening despite persecution. We know that China, the church in China, is growing massively. But again, it's amidst persecution. I read recently that 200 Iranian Muslims had a dream in which they all individually had a vision of Jesus. It so transformed them that they threw away all their Islamic belief and converted to Christianity. It's also hundreds of mosques have closed down in Iran as Christianity spreads. God is doing a sovereign work over in the Middle East. He's revealing himself to these people. Christians that have been taking out aid to the hungry and devastated in Gaza, their kindness has brought home the power of the gospel to these people. So much so that many of them have converted from Islam to Christianity because they've seen in practice the gospel, the goodness, the love of God. We carry that in us, and the world is aching to see that. And they also said that they found great comfort and strength in God's word. They're reading the word of God and it's feeding them, and it's quickening them and livening them because the word of God is living and active. Has it gone again? In the West, however, it's a different story. The majority of churches are in decline, with the exception of the evangelicals. The goal of the Islamic nations has been to swamp Europe and the UK, and within two decades to overtake them. They've almost reached their goal. Prince William said this week that when he takes the throne, he will not accept the position of head of the Church of England, albeit integral to the monarchy. These three things are just the tip of the iceberg of what's happening to our Christian culture. But with this in mind, God drew me back to Isaiah 58. And from verses 1 to 5, I'm not going to read those first five verses, but to summarise, God's saying, I'm not listening to you. Church, church, you're going through the motions, but it's all a religious veneer. Your actions and your motives tell a different story. You're busy, busy at worship, but there's no change in your lifestyle. You're motivated by self-gain and self-interest, and you have no relationship with me. And I think that can be said very much of many, many traditional churches. They're not going to get by saying that they're Christians when they have no relationship with God. God is looking for a people who want a relationship with him, because that is the foundation of Christianity. Luke 14, verses 15 to 24 says this. It's the story of the dinner party. That triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed up, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. And when it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guests saying, come on in, the food's on the table. Then they all began to beg off, one after another making excuses. The first one said, well, I've bought a piece of property, I need to look it over. I send my regrets. Another said, I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets. And yet another said, I got married and need to get home to my wife. The servant went back and told his master what had happened. The master was outraged and told the servant, quickly, get out into the city streets and the alleys. Collect all who looks like they need a square meal, all the misfits and the homeless and the wretched that you can lay your hands on, and bring them here. The servant reported back, Master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room. The master said, then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. God's not looking for the religious. He's looking for those who have a passion and a heart for people. Because that's God's heart. It says in James 1 and verse 26 and 27, the kind of religion that passes muster before God the Father is to reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. In verses 6 to 8 of Isaiah 58, it says this, free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind the people. Matthew 25, verses 41 to 46, stresses the importance of helping those in need and saying, when you do this, you're doing it for him. And to avoid this, is a personal affront to God. We're reading constantly in the New Testament, Jesus was always out amongst the people. He was feeding the hungry. He was investing in those who had nothing. And he said he gave us talents not to be buried. The talents God has given us are to be invested in his kingdom. When the disciples were out looking for Jesus, they couldn't find him, and they said to one another, oh, I know where he'll be. He'll be with the down and outs. God places huge importance on this ministry, and it's integral to our existence. It really, really is. And I believe God is saying that he wants our service to go beyond our own personal growth to acts of kindness and generosity for the people, for the hungry, the homeless, and anyone else in great need. In other words, church, it's time to reach out. And I really believe that is Harvest Field's mandate from God. We've been saying for some months now, God, what's the next step? What do you want us to do? And we're gradually seeing the necessities in the building coming together. And I thank God for all of that. And God is saying, as the building is coming together, now it's time for the church to reach out to those in this community. Verses 9 to 12, it says, if you get rid of unfair practices and quit blaming victims. Earlier this week, we attended a leaders' conference. It was a meeting at which an evangelist called Jonathan Conrad shared some of his experiences. And he related how the prison governor of Wormwood Scrubs supplied Mother's Day cards and with free postage to all the prisoners who wanted to send them to their mothers. To his amazement, every card was taken and sent. He thought, I'll do the same thing on Father's Day. So he did exactly the same thing on Father's Day. And much to his shock, none were taken. The role of the father is extremely important in families. Why? When a child is deprived of a father, it drives a deep chasm in their development, leaving them vulnerable to making wrong choices. Every child needs to be loved, trained, and disciplined by its biological parents. There's a spiritual battle going on to try and warp the minds of children and to rob them of a secure and safe home environment in which to develop. Teachers, Hannah will tell you, have a rough job trying to discipline and teach these children. But there's a desperate need for Christian teachers. Those who have God's love and compassion. A tangible contact point that doesn't always need words. When you reach out to them, you're doing it for Him. And what He calls us to do is not always easy. But He gives us a strength, and He gives us the wisdom and the anointing to do what He has called us to do. And I would say it's worth sticking out and knowing that you know that you have a part to play, a God-appointed part to play. You're privileged, Hannah, to reach them kids. I'm sorry it's tough. But you've got a tough God. Amen. In the message, it says in this section of verses 9 to 12, if you're generous with the hungry and you start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'd be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. Wow. If you give out, God will give back to you. Pressed down, running together, shaken together and running over, God will give back to you. You'll never outgive God. However big a sacrifice you think you're paying, it will be worth it because God will reward you beyond your wildest dreams. It continues, you will use the old rubble of your past lives to build anew. You will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. God's always saying, forget the past. There's only one time it can ever be useful, and this is it, when you can relate and identify to somebody who is up there where you were. And you can say that I know there's a way through this. God delivered me and He wants to deliver you. There is an answer and it's Jesus. He wants us to use our past and the wealth. Look at us all. We're not young chicks, are we? You know, we've got a wealth of experience behind us. And we can say to some of these kids, I've been there, I know, and listen to wisdom. Listen to experience. And I'll tell you that God has given us that experience, and it may be for such a time as this. I've been doing Esther. For such a time as this, God prepared her for the calling that he had given to her. So God wants us to use our broken, rebuilt lives to rebuild broken and shattered lives that will certainly come in. Certainly come in. Andrew put a post on the Church Messenger site this week. Probably many of you read it, but I just want to highlight some of the things that were said. It was about Fanny Crosby, if anybody knows or heard of Fanny Crosby. She wrote many, many, many. In fact, she wrote 8,000 hymns. Wow. But her life is interesting. She was blind almost from birth. Her father died when she was 6 months old. At the age of 35, she married and gave birth to a child that shortly afterwards died. At the height of her despair, when she started to thank God for the blessings she'd found through adversity. And she wrote her famous hymn, "To God be the glory, great things he has done, great things he has taught us, great things through Jesus, his son." Wow, these were powerful hymns. Her biographer recorded her saying, "Had it not been for her affliction, she might not have sung so good, had an education, or so great an influence, and certainly not so fine a memory." She went ahead to write several popular hymns, such as "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour, Hear My Humble Cry, Whilst on Others Thou Art Calling, Do Not Pass Me By." She wrote, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and filled with his blood," I think. Anyway, filled with his love. Lost in his love. Yeah, yeah, she put, absolutely. "And praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Hear, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim." She left a tremendous legacy. She didn't bemoan a lot. She found the blessing in it. She found a way through it. She found a way to leave a legacy for others who might have to tread that path. Wow, what rich people God has brought through his kingdom to bless us and encourage us. Verse 12 in the Message says, "You will be known as those who can fix anything." Well, praise God. I look at Andrew sometimes and I think, oh, we're so blessed he can fix anything. You know, yes, God says you'll restore old ruins. You'll rebuild and renovate. And you will make the community livable again. That's the goal, to make this community livable again. How is it going to happen? Because God wants us to connect with the community, and he wants to change the spiritual atmosphere. And the ones that can change the spiritual atmosphere are us. Amen? We are co-heirs with Christ, and he has called us to change this place. He's put us here to reach that community, to change it completely, because it is full of hurting, wounded people who need rebuilding. Verses 13 to 14, he says this, "If you watch your step on the Sabbath and you don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day a celebration, if you honour it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and running there, then you'll be free to enjoy God." Woo! I'm free to enjoy God. How about you? I just love to enjoy God. We've enjoyed his presence today. There's nothing that is as great as the presence of God. He ministers to us, he rebuilds us, he heals us, he sets us on course. He just renews our youth. You know, to revel in his presence with his family and let him refresh us and recharge us for the week ahead. A two-way relationship, listening to him, receiving from him, and talking to him. It's a two-way thing, this gospel. That's what relationship is. I talk to Andrew and Andrew talks to me. And that's a two-way relationship, and it's the same with God. He wants that closeness between us. And finally he says, oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all, feasting on your godly inheritance. We need to feast on our godly inheritance and enjoy all that Jesus Christ has purchased for us. I just love him. I love him. I love him. And nothing is too much for God. Going back to the evangelist Jonathan Conrad, God has called him to hold a crusade in Doncaster, of all places, in 2025. Next year. Praise God. Doncaster, God has a plan for Doncaster. We're part of that plan. Let's get behind it. Let's do it. In March of this year, he intends holding 5 daily sessions from about 10 till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And these are specifically to train those who want to be involved. Amongst other things, he will be training workers to listen to the Spirit of God and to flow in spiritual gifts. There is a cost to this training, but Andrew said, we'll work something out together on this and offer financial help because it is so important to the body of Christ. You know, Christians in many denominations over the years, they've fed and clothed the hungry, but it's vital to do it with spiritual eyes. Truly, truly is. It's not just about meeting a natural need, but about a deeper spiritual need. When we meet these people, we need to be, our spirit needs to be totally aware of what God is saying. Because although the hungry and the hurting and the wounded, if you're not switched on to the Spirit of God, they will take you for a ride. And that's not what we're here for. We are here to do business for God. We are here to introduce them to Jesus. We are here to see their lives changed and transformed by the gospel. Yes, we will meet a physical need, but the priority is the spiritual need. And we need to be praying into this and saying to God, is this where you want me to be? Is this what you want me to do? What part do you want me to play? I'm available. During the training week, there'll also be a meeting each evening, which will be a mini session of the daytime training that's been taking place. This morning, God reminded me of Isaiah 60. In the message, it says, get out of bed, church. It says in the other ones, wakey, wakey, wake up, church. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen on you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people are sunk in deep darkness. You don't have to look far to see that. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Ho, ho! Is he preparing us? Is he calling us? Is he challenging us? It's time. It's time. It's time to get equipped. Every one of us has a role to play. And God is saying, are you willing to set aside your agenda for mine? Because there's a haul of fish out there that need to be caught and brought into the house of God and cleaned up and got ready for Jesus. Amen. And I would say that Yes, we're almost there. I believe God has set the challenge and sent it out today to the workers in harvest fields. But I also believe he's saying it's time to pray this through. And it's really crucial that we pray for people with the skills that we shall need. You know, we've got people who are willing to cook, but when it's all on two or three, it's not enough. We need more people who can cook. We need people with DIY skills, more of them. We need people with tech skills, more of them. We need intercessors, counsellors, administrators, accountants, people persons. Don't ask an accountant. They're not usually people persons. But we want people persons, people who love to gossip the gospel. And we need musicians, more musicians. We need teachers, we need cleaners, we need gardeners and anything else you can think of. We need them all. We need bodies on the ground in here. More and more and more of them. And God says, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. You know, when God calls you to do something, he fully equips you and he will totally equip us. But I believe he wants his church to start thinking in that direction, start praying into that direction and being ready and saying, I'm available. When you move, God, when you say this is it, I'm there, I'm prepared, and I will run to the battle with the rest of the body of Christ. And we shall see great and mighty things. I know that I know that I know. Amen.